This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
When you lose things, you don't want to get them back because you're afraid of losing them again.
That's it.
Like today, I lost my ID.
I mean, I'm lost for words.
Yes, you
can't
are.
Can't get in the building.
No one will even acknowledge you.
I know. Nobody's really like, I walk in,
security,
everybody's kind of looking the other way.
Security's wrestled you to the ground three times already.
Very uncomfortable.
I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
I feel better about being in the building.
took me a couple different times to try to get in and sneak around the security desk.
They're very nice.
They're very nice. Very cordial. And yes. It was very accommodating. So, yeah. And days like this, you appreciate the people who do those kind of jobs, especially because you can't find your ID.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Sir, I'm going to need to see some ID.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David flashing an ID. Is that a new ID or is that, did you get a new one or is that the old one you found?
Good morning, Mully. I found my other one, but by then I already had a new one because things work very well around here.
Double ID man.
Definitely. I got things done yesterday, got the wheels in motion. And you know what? Compliments to everybody who did their part in getting me an ID before I got out of here after my workout yesterday.
Did you?
Tremendous efficiency.
Did you, are you allowed to have two? Did you have to pay anything to get the second ID?
The first one is just deactivated.
Oh, it is deactivated.
Yeah, because I have no need for two IDs.
Oh, boy.
I'm not trying to pull any kind of scam here. I just want to get in and out.
You leave one in a bag or something, and then you have the other one.
It happens.
Wallet, whatever it is.
I think that partly, in my case, it's due to the change in routine with the workout room kind of being moved to a different part of the building.
Is that where you found your ID?
I found my ID as a result of some workout
So you
regimen
left it in the other
changes.
Room?
I left it in a bag.
Oh, okay.
The wrong bag that I didn't bring.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, at least you got an ID.
Nonetheless, I'm in here. I'm ready to go.
ID. A new one, too. Look at you.
It's all ready to go. That'll last me another 7 years. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, the gym, they're redoing something with the gym. The gym is here in the wonderful building here. They have a wonderful gym facility. $50, wait for it, for life.
It's a tremendous perk of working here.
Holy God.
It definitely has helped keep me healthy. A lot of other people take advantage of it.
You can also take a shower if you need one, if you're going somewhere and you want to clean up before you go.
The renovating, yeah, the health facility, health club on the 11th floor. And until they're ready with that, which will be later this spring, probably, optimistically, they have moved things to another part of the building. They did a great job in getting the equipment there. So you just change your routine. I'm fine.
It is, we're in the Prudential building, and I do recall coming here as a child, I mean a very young kid, because it was the tallest building at some point in my lifetime. This building we're in was the tallest building in Chicago.
Before Hancock Center, before the Willis Tower,
I believe that's
which
accurate.
Is formerly the Sears Tower and always will be to some people.
Yep.
This was the tallest building in Chicago.
I believe that's accurate.
Sometimes in the 11th floor, you look out and the great view on the treadmill and you appreciate the how high you are.
Well, you're also right over Millennium Park,
and it's great.
It's beautiful.
Very lucky. And so
we're lucky. We're fortunate.
I can get in and out seamlessly. Thank you to Bonnie Rarick. Thank you to Rich Wyatt. Thank you to all the good people that got my ID.
Yeah, that's a good shout out. No thank you to the Bulls. No thank you. Don't need to.
We waited. We tried.
Don't need to watch that. I watched that. I almost watched the entire game. I don't know why. I think it was the fascination of the abomination. I think it was like somehow you were transfixed by a car accident. It was just awful.
It was stunning incompetence.
They were awful.
I didn't understand. You kept waiting for it to get better, and they missed the first 23-point shots.
Yes.
They hit one, and then they kind of the mock celebration, then they missed some more.
And then the last one was, a half court. Throw. I wasn't really a
but this was embarrassing. A new low for futility in a half.
Yes.
You're trailing 40 points in the first half. The back-to-back halves that the Bulls put together from Saturday night through last night, how miserable can things get?
I mean, honestly, I'd rather listen to AK talk about the playoffs and how that's still possible.
Well, since he talked, they have responded.
They've told him no.
He wanted to see what they have for the final 30 games. They are showing him what they have, and it is nothing. Nothing left in the tank.
Yeah, we're done.
That's it. They had season lows for points and a half. That was the first half, 29 points. Season low for points and a quarter. That was 11. They ended up, Matas Muzelis led them with 12 points. The real story there is 5 of 7 field goals.
That's like a junior varsity box score. You get somebody who's leading your team with 12 points. Why did he only take 7 shots?
I just remember, I think their first possession, he tried to drive to the basket, and he did, a finger roll, and it bounced out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, in retrospect, I thought, wow. That was one of the two shots he missed.
Dustin's all over this. Thanks on the rundown. This is what I'm talking about. The Bulls allowed 77 points to the Warriors in the second half on Saturday.
Yes.
I was there last night. 71 in the first half.
That's right.
So in 4 consecutive quarters over 4 days, they gave up 148 points.
How are they going to better that tonight?
Well, they better show up and compete, because that was missing too. That's a problem.
They didn't compete, no.
They were not competitive. They couldn't shoot straight, and they couldn't grab a rebound to save their lives. And then the defense was optional. Other than that, it was a great night.
Flu had gone through the team. Let's be honest about it.
Everybody deals with the flu. Everybody deals with illness. You can compete, and you can exert effort better than they have. Billy Donovan.
They should have called in sick. The team.
That was sick.
Oh, it was bad.
It was ill. It was bad.
Well, it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
That's Billy Donovan. He's right. And he also talked about their toughness, and by that I just mean the lack of it. And he talked about just how overwhelmed they were physically.
Unfortunately, though,
size-wise.
We have seen this before, and we will see it again. If you see too much of it, it is the kind of effort. You don't like to say this, but it is the reality of pro sports. When you see this happening and the spiral continuing, it is a kind of thing that costs people jobs.
Well, I mean, that's why, instead of just calling a timeout, you call a timeout and you cut someone.
Send him home.
Yeah.
And then they're walking out with their bag.
Hey,
and
guys, gather around, you know.
Their suit.
You are terrible. You're worse than him. Why don't you go put your clothes on, leave the uniform, and don't come back. Leave your ID. Mr. David needs an extra third one.
They're taking their ID. They're not
just have security escort them from the huddle.
They're not allowed into the United Center cafeteria any longer.
Yeah, but that's the problem when your team is that bad.
Calling an Uber for Kevin Herter at halftime.
Yeah. Has he hit a shot yet?
I don't know. He keeps trying.
I think that the new guys obviously played with NBA players because they come in and they're just kind of, okay, who's going to take over? You want me to do something? And it's not their fault, but the Bulls don't really seem to have many good players.
Trey Jones had a couple moments, maybe.
Okay.
Very discouraging to watch the Bulls because they were embarrassing, as Billy Donovan said. And tonight is another opportunity to rectify that, to go out with a little bit of momentum, not even momentum, just some pride. Show some pride tonight against the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
Same place, same time, same team. And
is there any way the results are different?
Yeah, it's the NBA. You know that.
Yeah, there's no way. You're right. They'll never win another game.
It could be different. I don't think it could be as lopsided as it was last night the other way. I don't think the Bulls could hold the Pistons to 29 points and a half. 29 points and a half.
It's almost like you got to try.
How many NBA players? Bad. This is curious. I wonder how many NBA players this year have scored 29 points and a half.
Oh, you may not. Single player.
Steph had 24, and I think, in the third quarter on Saturday night.
Well, that was the largest halftime deficit. They were down 42, I believe, and that was from the Klay Thompson game. Didn't Klay Thompson score like 75 points and a half in the Bulls?
In 2018 when they gave up 92 to the Warriors in the first half?
That's it.
That was ugly. And what happened there? That got somebody fired. Just saying. Well, these are the kind of things that leave a mark.
Yeah.
Indelibly, unfortunately.
Someone's got to go. That's what you do, call timeout.
See, and this
guys, one of you, let's vote out someone.
I just think the boos were appropriate.
Oh, my God. The boos were already... There was about 4 minutes, maybe 5.5 minutes left in the second quarter, and the boos were raining down.
3-3-1. Losing the game is good for the Bulls. Losing a game like that is never good for anyone.
No.
I disagree with that.
Cost you life momentum.
It wastes a night. I feel bad for the people that went, were looking forward to the event. They were going to, you know, watch an NBA game. That wasn't an NBA game. You would see more... A quality play from the Windy City Bulls. You want to see, you know, more competitive level, a higher degree of effort. Go to a college game. Loyola, what were the Ramblers doing last night? Northwestern, UIC.
They're struggling, I think, a little bit. DePaul.
Sorry.
See.
You go to DePaul.
They're struggling a little bit.
You go to DePaul. DePaul's giving away tickets. They got a big next. Here we go. They're having a ticket drop. You see this? This is great. St. John's, next Wednesday, February 19th at Wintrust Arena. St. John's, one of the hottest teams in America. Rick Pitino doing the job that's going to get him the coach of the year nationally. DePaulBlueDemons.com/promo. Canes 25, C-A-N-S 25. Claim up to 4 tickets and discounts presented by Raising Canes in Lincoln Park. That is where you will see some effort. You fired up? Come on, Rambler man. Don't you want to go see DePaul play?
I think there's a lot of effort going on to get people to go see DePaul play, I think, is what I'm learning.
You gotta sell it,
right, Molly. Here on the Score.
You gotta sell it.
That's the 19th, right?
Yeah, it's the 19th.
And today is February 12th, right?
Yep. It's a week from today.
Just checking.
It's a week from today.
There's something going on February.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers report for the White Sox.
Oh, what?
And about every other team in baseball.
Yeah.
Chris Getz talked yesterday.
He did talk
Chris
yesterday.
Chris Getz spoke on the state of the White Sox. Again, we've heard from him quite a bit. He did the rounds when they had the mini Sox Fest at the Romova Theater a couple weeks ago. And now they're in Arizona, and he's back behind the microphones and projecting his idea of what's going to happen in 2025.
It'll be interesting. I mean, here's the thing. They, they actually, this is the time, tonight is the night to watch them. This is when you really want to see what's going on with the White Sox. I'm not sure that they'll be, that will be a lasting feeling, and I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying it could be a rough year. But when they're reporting to camp and you're getting all the info on who's in, who's out, et cetera, that's interesting.
You have to understand where they are, and I don't think you need necessarily people to drive it into the ground how bad things are and how big the rebuild is. The key to this job, and correct me if you think differently, but if I'm Chris Getz, if I'm anybody in that organization, if I'm Will Venable, you've got to be relentlessly positive about everything you're doing every single day. You've got to try to create a tone where you're not miserable about coming to the ballpark. You're not defeated before you get started. And you understand that you embrace the idea of, yeah, you could lose 100 games and still be the most improved team in baseball. That's hard to do, though, I think. And it's certainly hard for fans to listen to at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know any other way for them to present themselves publicly in the way that we always ask them to do. I think they've got to be positive, focus on the strengths that they have, the young pitching that's on the way. That's why yesterday's Kai Bush news was discouraging.
Yeah, that was sad. Kai Bush is scheduled for Tommy John surgery this morning, and he's going to miss the 2025 season.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. You need all hands on deck, but it's this is what you learn at the beginning of camp: who's in, who's out, who's injured, who's not as injured as you thought, etc. The White Sox need a fast forward button, right? Because I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know any way they're not going to lose 100 games.
But we can't fast forward through this season.
No,
right?
It'd be nice to.
It would be nice if it didn't snow today.
It would be great
if it didn't snow today.
Like, you know, right by the maybe that game in London.
But some things are inevitable.
You could have used a fast forward button.
Some things are just going to happen. And yeah, some things are just unavoidable, mm-hmm, and you just got to make the best of a bad situation. And that's the White Sox in 2025, making the best of a bad situation. There you go, Brooks.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? You want to make the worst of it?
Well, Nicky Lopez is out there. He used to be with the White Sox. He's out there now trying to get Bregman to the Cubs.
Thankfully.
Why didn't he do that last year? Maybe they don't lose that many games. Get someone better in here.
I'd like that move. If Nicky Lopez can land Alex Bregman to the Cubs, he deserves a roster spot all season long. He's on a minor league deal.
Yeah, I know.
Fighting for a spot in the roster, 26 yep, man. If he can land Bregman, he stays. If they can't get Bregman, see ya.
Let me just ask you. If you went to Bregman and you just said, listen, sign this contract. I know it's not what you want, but we'll keep Nicky Lopez on the roster all year long, LeBron-y style. What do you think? I don't think that'd be a long conversation.
For Bregman?
I think there'd just be a, you know.
Like, show him the money.
A dial tone.
Show him the money.
If you called up Bregman with that question.
I don't think he cares about anything like that. He cares about one thing: getting paid. Now, there's so many rumors and there's so many people speculating. Nicky Lopez talking about this again. Ryan Pressly in the Sun Times this morning. Yeah. It appears that Alex Bregman is intrigued by the idea of playing for the Cubs.
Yes, he is.
And it has. Again, reading into it, it looks like the Cubs might be his second choice if it were just a baseball decision. Astros, familiarity, Cubs, then I don't know what order they're in. But it sounds like it's being presented that he likes the idea of playing at Wrigley Field for the Cubs for reasons that we kind of understand.
Yeah, but he likes the idea of continuing his career for reasons that have to do with years and money.
Okay.
So if they're offering the least number of years, wouldn't that influence them?
If they're offering three and everyone else is offering four.
But they're offering all the opt-outs. Is everyone else offering all
the opt-outs? I don't know. That's the thing that we don't know. We're not privy to the details. Right. We do know what it would mean to the Cubs, possibly, if they would land.
They're better than the Dodgers.
They could be. I don't know. Ken Rosenthal was on You Better, You Bet, the guy from the expert, the national baseball reporter with the bow tie.
Yep.
Said this to Nick Costos about the Cubs if they land Bregman.
I would say the answer to that is yes, but with a caveat. The National League is really strong. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Mets, the Braves, all of these teams. I would even throw maybe the Diamondbacks in there as a World Series contender. The Padres will be good again, even though they've done so little. So the Cubs, yes. And keep in mind, they've added Ryan Pressly as well, and they have that addition coming. So I expect that they're going to be a pretty formidable team. How formidable remains to be seen.
I love that soundbite. You know why? That's a tremendous use of the word caveat.
Yeah. I mean, I think he ought to have that that cavity removed.
that's not what it means.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not the proper use of the term.
Thank you. I'm glad you corrected
me. I know you know better. But would you agree that's a good use of the word caveat?
Well, I mean, it's also not him predicting anything. Could they be a World Series team? Yes, along with a lot of others. Even maybe Arizona. It's like there are a lot of, it's a National League strong.
It's good company to keep.
Yeah, but he's not really predicting they could win the World Series.
I think that's what I heard, though. I think he said they could, with a caveat.
You might be listening with Dustin's ears.
This is the way I'm looking at it. Alex Bregman, yeah, as one texter pointed out, maybe we are overrating him a little bit, possibly. I'll allow that. But I also think that it's possible that...
You're going to allow it.
I'm allowing someone that possibility. I'm also looking at it as a year ago, we were talking about Matt Chapman. Remember that? Matt Chapman. Where would he have landed?
They might have made the playoffs with him.
I'm looking at his numbers for 2024.
Like a 5-war season.
He has 7.1 war season.
7.1?
7.1.
They would have made the playoffs.
Okay. Thank you. And I look at that and I see if Matt Chapman had that kind of year for the Giants at the age of 31.
What kind of year did Juan Soto have? Because if they had him,
that's not the same.
If Suzuki had signed him,
that was never realistic.
Maybe they, he won a World Series.
Now you're being silly.
I'm being frank.
You're being silly, Frank.
They didn't do it.
But my comparison is apt. This year's version of Matt Chapman is Alex Bregman. Theoretically, he could do for the Cubs and have the kind of season that Chapman did for the Giants. And I think I want to look at it that way until they don't.
That's fine that you want to put on the rose-colored glasses, but the reality is that they didn't go after Chapman. They didn't offer the kind of money that would have got him here, and they didn't get him, and they didn't make the playoffs. And they never signed Suzuki. And I think you look at what's going on with Bregman. If he comes here, it would be magnificent. But if he comes here, it would be kind of as a fail-safe, as a failure of sorts for him to get what he wants, which is another good reason to sign him. If he winds up here, he'll be upset that he didn't get offers that he wanted.
I don't think he would be upset if he came to Chicago.
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. I'm saying that his market didn't produce what he wanted his market to produce. He'd be motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Upset, probably the wrong word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying if he comes here, it's because he didn't get what he wants.
Maybe.
Not because they gave him the best offer.
But same was true with Chapman in San Francisco. So that would be the comp because did not necessarily get all he wanted. He waited until the last team was standing.
Right.
And then he went to the Giants and he proved everybody who didn't want to pay that wrong. And
you could get the same thing.
You could get the same kind of production.
But again,
from an Alex Bregman.
They're not. He doesn't come here because he's getting what he wants. He comes here because he couldn't get what he wants.
You know what I would say to that? If that happens and he comes here, don't care. Don't care. As long as he's here, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I'm just saying, it's not like you're going out and getting somebody. You're kind of hoping no one else wants him.
Wait and see. Well, wait and see how it unfolds.
It doesn't matter whether he comes here or not. It's the fact is that they're not giving him what he wants to come here. And
well,
so
a six-year deal. Nobody's going to give him a six-year deal.
Well, apparently he was offered, like, what, a five-year deal in Houston?
According to Ken Rosenthal, he was offered 6 years and $156 million.
Yeah, so it's not the amount of money that was
right. So he's looking for some things that are conducive to
his situation
and for winning.
I like the idea of them giving him the shorter-term deal with the opt-outs because I think that might get him here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Let's get to that part of it. That would be great.
That's fine. We're not there yet, though. So until then, we speculate. That's what we do. That's why we're here.
I'm not saying we're not speculating. That's all we do is speculate. I'm saying we've been talking about Alex Bregman. I'm getting Bregman fatigue.
Hold on. Where's Michael A. Taylor? Here we go.
Where's that paragraph? The White Sox signed Michael A. Taylor yesterday. And all you can say about him is he's a professional ball player.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a guy that can play the game professionally.
The A is for available.
What was the money on that one? 1.95?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
It wasn't tons of money, but he's more of a defensive guy than an offensive guy. You know, you understand.
He won a Gold Glove.
Yeah.
He won a Gold Glove before. Yep. So he's a professional outfielder. He's a guy that could be. We'll talk about that during the pick six. I think it's one of the questions.
But I think, you know, let's be honest about it. He's a guy who could play center field. So what does that mean for the guy currently playing center field? Well, you know what that means.
It means that if he stays, he could also be hurt. If he doesn't stay, you've got cover. You've got a lot of different options. And all you're doing is, thankfully, filling out your roster with major league talent.
All right, we've got the pick six next. We're going to get right to it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
How about the Bulls matching a team record for the largest halftime deficit at 42 points against the Detroit Pistons last night? How could they miss their first 23-pointers and make just one of 23 three-pointers in the first half? Will the result be repeated tonight, or are you counting on a snow day?
That'd be a way of avoiding it, no doubt about it. And there is supposed to be a snow day, right? Isn't it supposed to really come down starting at like 9 a.m.? I don't know. Look, the Bulls were awful. They were awful. They were not aggressive in any fashion. They looked undersized. They looked outclassed and outperformed. And they, it was just a really embarrassing performance all the way around. They didn't seem remotely inspired. They looked like a team that had the flu. Supposedly the flu bug had gone through the team. But they fielded a group, and they just couldn't play. They didn't do – I don't think they did anything right, frankly. I don't think there was any element of that game. I guess Matas shot okay, right? Take twice as many shots if that's what you're doing. I think you're right. I think the NBA is just the NBA, and different things happen on different nights, and it's not unusual to see people come back and play differently, but I think they're pretty beaten up. I don't know that we're going to see much out of them tonight. The last couple of performances has been an uninspired and incapable team.
Not sure anybody would have ever predicted that they would miss 20 straight three-pointers. I wonder if that's ever happened in the history of the league. To miss 20 straight three-pointers, that's, as Billy Donovan put it, embarrassing. The Bulls are only a six-point dog tonight. That's also very interesting. I guess they expect Lonzo Ball back in the game tonight. He won't miss back-to-backs, assuming the flu has run its course with him. Is Io going to be part of the lineup? Has the flu gone through him? Will somebody else get the flu? And is anybody going to be, I don't blame Bulls fans who were at the game last night for booing. Will anybody be at the game tonight? Will you be able to get there?
Well,
everybody gets sick. There's no excuse for the Bulls looking as bad as they did. Everybody deals with the flu, whether it's a basketball team or an office space or whatever the case is. There's no excuse for what the Bulls did last night. There's no excuse for what they've done the last six quarters. When you look at the second half against the Warriors, where they allowed 77 points, and then last night to score 29 in the first half, this is a team that hasn't responded to the challenge, and it was a challenge, I think, with AK. It didn't come out that way because he doesn't necessarily present himself in that way. He doesn't communicate in a way that is effective, essentially. And they have not responded to being given an opportunity over the final 30 games to prove something. All they have proven is that they are terrible and that this is a team that doesn't, right now, play like they care. It's an awful reality to face, but you are a team that's a lack of a lot of things: ability, talent, strength, and skill, as Billy Donovan pointed out, but it's also lack of pride. When you play that poorly for four consecutive quarters over four straight days, you're not invested emotionally. You're not invested in professionally. You're not invested in any way. So I would hope the minimum bar is cleared tonight. They're playing the Pistons at home a night after they got booed off the floor with good reason. Show up tonight. Exert some effort. Be a professional. Win or lose, go down swinging. Don't be this soft, embarrassing unit that you were last night. That was awful to watch.
Awful.
You know, I've been asked that question before.
What did you make of our guy Kendall Gill telling this to the Midday Show about Matas Buzelis?
I just think his upside is tremendous, and I know a lot of people talking about, well, let's lose and get the draft pick so we can get in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. Guess what, guys? You already got Cooper Flag. Listen to me. I saw Matas take Cooper Flag apart when they played one-on-one.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I saw it with my own eyes. He's bigger. He can handle the basketball better. In my opinion, he's more athletic. And they both have the same mentality. But I like Matas's upside simply because I like his athleticism more and I like his mentality more than Cooper Flagg. He can also shoot the basketball better than Cooper Flagg. Say, hey, listen, 3 years from now, you're going to be saying Kendall was right.
Your reaction?
I love Kendall's confidence. I love the fact that he sees what he sees in Matas Buzelis. I love that he's ahead of the curve here. And if a guy with 15 years of NBA playing experience at a very high level says that he believes that Matas Buzelis is better than the number one college player in America this year, I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. I'm certainly not going to diminish his opinion. I will say right now, that would surprise me. That would definitely surprise me given how much Cooper Flagg represents. Let's use a in-town comp. Cooper Flagg coming out in this draft right now feels like people are describing him the way they were describing Caleb Williams before the 2024 NFL draft. There is a consensus building that Cooper Flagg is the player of the year, the number one draft pick, and he will be the guy that changes somebody's franchise. But if Kendall Gill sees something in Matas Buzelis and makes him feel confident to make that projection, I will pay closer attention to that comparison now because he is somebody whose opinion I value and he has earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, David, well said. Kendall Gill has forgotten more about basketball than I will ever know. Programming note, Matas Buzelis, the Bulls version of Cooper Flagg, joined the station today. He will be on with Bernstein and Harris at noon.
That's awesome. That's a great get.
Yep. Yeah, that's good stuff. We've talked to Kendall, and he has expressed his admiration for Buzelis as a player. Now, he watched him grow up. He's literally, you know, his son is a similar generation, and he has seen Buzelis improve and the way his game has changed. And you're right. There's a lot of confidence there. There's a lot of he's a very young man, and he is a confident guy. I don't know that he's going to have a better career than Flagg, but I like that Kendall predicts it. I like that the Bulls may have gotten a player, and they may have one, and I think you need more. So team them all up. You know, let's get as many good players in here as humanly possible. I'm not sure if you feel it's redundant. Would you take Cooper Flagg if you got the number one pick? Probably, but there are a couple of really good players available in this draft. So I think you got to do a good job and make sure you're not just going for the guy that has the great reputation, but you examine and think hard about the Jaden Daniels type too.
And to be fair, what you're alluding to, like Ace Bailey from Rutgers.
That's what I was
remember. Kendall said that he believed Ace Bailey
was better
than Cooper Flagg as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Does the White Sox signing of Michael A. Taylor seem like cover for an eventual Luis Robert Jr. trade or a way to move Andrew Benintendi to the DH spot? Will the outfield defense now be credible?
Yeah, he's a credible outfielder. He's a good player. And I think that you can't say that necessarily about Benintendi. Benintendi's kind of weak-armed, let's be honest. And I think he might be better if you moved him to DH. You certainly need as much bat as you can get. And unfortunately, I don't think Michael A. Taylor comes with a great bat. But that's okay. There's a reason that a guy's available at this time of year. They signed a major league ball player, and they give themselves cover if indeed. And I did feel when I saw that news, I did feel that a Luis Robert Jr. trade was imminent. But apparently they're not getting what they're hoping for in that deal, so they're going to wait. It's dangerous to wait because, you know, he's like a paper cut away from being the kind of guy you'll get nothing for. And you worry about that. But I think he's, you know, he's a legitimate Major League Baseball player, Luis Robert Jr. And they don't have a ton of them. So, you know, as I sit down and start trying to come up with a lineup for the White Sox, very difficult thing to do. Good luck to you in that task. I mean, you can throw names in and you can move it around. We know who the identities of the players are, but we don't know if that's a lineup or not. So I think he's a guy that, you know, they've got an outfield. They got a few different outfielders that could work, and it looks like that's a way of starting.
So Michael A. Taylor, also known as Miggy, signed a one-year deal with $1.95 million. We asked that question earlier on. Yeah, I think it's both. The answer is both. Makes the outfield defense better. He also provides cover should Luis Robert Jr. either get that paper cut that Mully was alluding to or is traded by the team. And you could get Andrew Benintendi off his feet a couple days a week and have him DH. Because as Mully pointed out and did it very well, it would be hard to construct a White Sox lineup at this moment.
Is he really referred to as Miggy?
I was just doing some research. It says his nickname is Miggy, okay. According to MLB.com is my source.
All right. I think that's going to take a while to get used to. I like Michael A. It sounds Michael A. Taylor. The A is for available. And he was, because he's not highly sought after at the stage of his career. 33 years old, still without a team. The White Sox sign him as insurance, maybe. I think because you still are guarding against an injury, as you point out, to Luis Robert Jr. He's very, dare I say, fragile. Is that too strong? Also, they can still trade him and have a representative sample of a major league center fielder if they do unload Luis Robert Jr. I think it's a sensible deal. I'd rather see somebody like Michael A. Taylor, Miggy, in center field or left field than
Mikey T.
Mikey T.
And Miggy.
Either
nickname.
Or both. I would like to see him more than I would be somebody who is out of Charlotte, somebody who is maybe just biding their time, somebody like Oscar Colas. Is he still in the organization?
That's a good question.
We'll have to look into that to see if he's reporting today.
So just to clarify, he's going to say Dustin will say Miggy, and you'll say Mikey T, and you mean the same people.
I won't go there because I'm not really a big nickname guy.
You're kind of Miggy.
I'm not a big nickname guy.
Miggy.
I did because it stopped me. I never thought of him as a Miggy. Michael A. Taylor, I remember him, I'm sure Dustin does, playing for the Nationals back in the day when the Cubs had a little thing in the postseason against the Nationals, that big series out there. He's a very good defensive outfielder. I think at this stage of his career, that's probably what he does best. Did not hit a lot last year in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But this is what the Sox need. Placeholders while the prospects get ready.
That's a big question.
Was Chris Getz making a bold statement when he said he believes the White Sox?
I do think we're going to win more games than we did last year.
What if they don't? Any chance the White Sox top their record of futility from?
No. I understand the spirit of the question. It's me. I understand the reason why it's asked. It's pessimistic. And maybe it's hard to be positive, but I'm going to stick to this for until we don't. You've got until they play games and start losing. He's got to be relentlessly positive. He's got to be.
Wait a minute. Is that relentlessly positive? We're going to win more games than we did last year?
Yes, you got to start somewhere.
David, that's like the lowest bar. If they win one game better,
then
they had the second worst season ever.
But how do you want him to approach this season then? We're going to win a X number of games, put a numeric value on it.
I would like him to say we're not going to lose 100 games. But he can't.
He can't say that.
No.
But I think those are two very different questions.
Right.
Do you think the Sox are going to lose 100 games this year? I think probably. Do you think they're going to be better than they were last year? Probably.
But does anyone think they're not going to be better? How could you get worse?
I don't know, Mully. I think that there might be some people out there, based on the tenor of the conversations about the White Sox, that needed to hear that. They will win more games. They could win 62 games, lose 100 games, and still be the most improved team in baseball?
No.
Because
no.
Right, there's no way. I mean, there's just really, I don't think it's humanly possible. Going back to your point earlier, like, look at the possible lineup. And who's bouncing back? Like, from the people that are being brought back from last year, who's going to bounce back in a positive way? Who's going to make like a big jump? We're kind of done with the first baseman, right?
He's one.
He's one. Why are you done with Vonnie?
I think Mully's down. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it sounds like when he brings him up, he's down on Vaughn.
So?
Well, he was pretty bad, but he can't be that bad again, right?
He can't be that bad again.
Do you remember the Cubs when they went downhill? Like, they all went downhill together all at the same time, and nobody seemed to bounce back.
Bad comp. I think Vonnie.
Do you want me to go to the 1982 Expos, David? I mean, what? Comp. I mean, we're in Chicago. The Cubs and the Sox. You compare them.
I don't look at Andrew Vaughn and see the decline of the 2019 Cubs. Going Vaughn.
Oh Jesus! What'd you find that?
I'm sorry, Dustin. But okay, it's Vaughn. Vaughn could have a. He could continue to regress or go.
Well, I mean, to say if he does continue to regress, I'm asking for the person
You're
in the lineup
for who could get better, and the answer is Vonnie.
Okay, but they have no starting pitching. The guy who actually won some games for them.
Yes.
Is he on the team still?
Eric Fetty. They traded him.
I'm just saying. I mean, they're just
Crochet. Yeah. They traded him.
I saw a picture of him in a Red Sox shirt yesterday.
It's as wild as it seems. I mean, we're having fun. This is not a Cubs White Sox thing. Just you brought it up, like looking at their lineup, and now look at their pitching staff. Like, who's winning? Where's the offense coming from? Andrew Benintendi. He had an uptick at the end of the year. Andrew Benintendi hit the ball pretty decently at the end of the year.
At the end of the year.
No pressure on that team. I mean, there was nothing. You just went up there and, okay, it can't get any worse.
Clear
thoughts.
Listen, I'm not predicting they'd be any good or anything, but I can't believe they'd be as bad as they were.
I can't believe that either.
And I think that they did fire Pedro eventually, but they waited way too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's – you know, there are people individually that could be better than they were. Vaughn is one. Benintendi's a good answer. If he's not playing as much outfield and he ends up being more of a DH, he could do better.
And aren't we overlooking maybe the most obvious one?
Luis Robert Jr.
He could be.
That's where I was
going. He's got to bounce back, doesn't he?
He believe it or not, and I can't believe I'm going to verbalize this, he has MVP capability. He's that good a player. But we haven't seen it in a while. And as I said, you can't get hurt again. You can't pull a muscle running to first. But that guy's a legit – he was an all-star. He's a legit baseball player. So, you know, do I predict they're going to be a great team? I think I'm going to go with Chris Getz. I had a T-shirt that Shane gave me that I love. It says that we don't like our team. And Chris Getz said that last year. He hadn't said that this year. He said, we're going to win more. What was the exact quote? Let's put it on a T-shirt.
We will win more games this year.
Okay. And again, that's not a bold statement.
You bucking for another T-shirt?
We will win more games this year. Might be a good T-shirt.
Okay.
Again, I won't tell you I completely know the answer to that question.
Why do you think Craig Counsell went out of his way to mention Nico Horner would be working out as a shortstop, too? Does that raise questions about Dansby Swanson's health, or is that just nitpicking?
Yeah, I don't think it's in regard to Dansby Swanson. I think what he was saying is that that Nico is not only coming back, but he still has some shortstop in him. You got a utility infielder and Craig Counsell talking about a guy coming back from injury, and he says, "Yeah, you know, we believe he's going to be able to play second base, and he's working at some shortstop too." In other words, he's not so damaged that he can't throw across the infield. I didn't take it as any like Dansby Swanson is finished. You know, we got to get him off his feet. I took it more as him as a utility infielder guy talking about things that Nico Horner is going to have to do. You want to be able to play every position in the infield like Craig Counsell did. And it's not about just coming back as a second baseman. And look, if he struggles at all, they've got other options at second base too. So I think he's saying that this is a guy that can help us in a lot of different positions. Hmm. That was my take on it.
I found it really interesting and almost like shoved under the rug, if you will. And maybe there was a follow-up and we just haven't heard it yet. But I thought I heard him say that the reason he had the procedure that he had in the offseason so that he would have the ability to throw from the shortstop position. Like, he could have like just rehabbed and been okay as a second baseman. But they did that so that he could play shortstop. And now, if he has the ability to play shortstop, and we've seen him play there before. Did an
entire season.
Right? And he did okay.
He's a very good shortstop.
So, is this about trading Nico Horner without saying it out loud? Yesterday, he said that the roster's never complete. You're right. Always looking to upgrade. And then went to first base. Wait a minute. I thought this team was like in love with Michael Busch. Well, just absolutely in love with Michael Busch.
Well, we all know that Bregman is what he was talking about, but I think that he was just somebody was online saying, would they sign Rizzo back for a year?
No, I'm not suggesting that.
I'm just saying that when you open up that door,
thought,
that's what you hear.
Speaking of Rizzo for a second, Jason Hayward is employed and Anthony Rizzo is not.
He's more versatile.
Think about that.
Yeah, he's more versatile. He can play right field. He can play center field. He can give you a speech. He can do a lot of things.
He can get the ball out of the infield.
I think that the inclusion of Nico Horner as a potential backup shortstop was interesting because I didn't expect to hear it. I do allow for the fact that Craig Counsell, as a lifelong career utility infielder, this is the way he sees the world. So Nico coming back does not just mean he's back as his everyday second baseman. He's back as his backup shortstop. And that's part of the totality of when you're trying to get back fully healthy because you want to do everything that you could do before you were injured. So I think we may be making something out of nothing in terms of focusing in on that. Although I understand why, because it was kind of an unusual way to answer the question. That said, Nico Horner, I want to see him healthy on opening day. I don't want him to be starting the season after they get back from Japan or anything like that. I want him in my lineup opening day. Same with Dansby Swanson. And I want them healthy. I want them whole. And I want them to remain part of the Cubs double play combination for years to come. I don't want to talk about trading Nico. I will worry about what to do with Matt Shaw after they sign Alex Bregman. And Nico Horner can be a nice everyday second baseman and your backup shortstop. Great. Just get healthy.
The last question will be.
With Bears assistant GM Ian Cunningham set to interview with the Jaguars on Friday, how appealing is that job? And what do you think Cunningham feels about his role now that head coach Ben Johnson has arrived?
I do wonder about the latter because before Ben Johnson arrived, it was Ian Cunningham who was joined at the hip with Ryan Poles. Now that seat is taken. That spot is occupied. That role is filled. I don't know what Ian Cunningham feels about or how he feels about his diminished capacity, or maybe his voice isn't going to be quite as loud in that draft room or discussing free agents or whatever the case may be. There's only 32 general manager jobs. I think the Jaguars one would be near the bottom of the list, but it's still one of 32. So he would inherit a situation where you have an albatross of a contract to Trevor Lawrence. You could look at it that way. You've got a coach that has not gotten off to a good start in terms of perception with
By yelling Duval
and all those things that Cohen has yelled and done.
Robert Duval.
There's some talent down there. There is an opportunity with an owner that's willing to spend some money, so maybe it's a good situation. I think he probably still wants it. And if you're a Bears fan, you're rooting for Ian Cunningham.
Oh, boy, how about it?
2 third-round draft picks is a nice compensation for losing him.
Year.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, get on Aaron McCaskey and get down to Jacksonville. What is his job now? Is he the director of college scouting, director of player person? I mean, what is his
assistant general manager? He's the number two.
I know that's what it says on his business card, or I guess you know, he flies around to SEC games with his old buddy. I mean, because Ben Johnson's got a big say in the roster. If he is offered that job, I would think he would be a fool not to take it, because if you were, you know, all we're hearing about is trimming fat these days. I mean, that is fat. Like, you don't need an assistant GM when you're paying him $13 million to be the head coach and in charge of personnel and everything else. I could see the Bears moving on from him.
You're paying him $13 million to be the head coach / offensive coordinator. You're not paying him to be the personnel boss. There is a lot of work to be done, especially as you set up a draft. The guy is still the assistant general manager. He still will be doing the same things he was doing and consulting with the same guy he was consulting with. There's just going to be another boss over them. They got used to it when Kevin Warren came in. They got to get used to it again, because now Ben Johnson has more power than the general manager does and the assistant general manager. So his role obviously changes a little bit, and anything good that happens with the Bears, all credit to Ben Johnson. That's the way this is going to play moving forward. But I think it's great if he can take that Jaguars job. There are only 32 of them. You want to be a guy in the chair, and that's how you get yourself going, and who knows what can be done or what can't be done. And maybe he just happens to be a big fan of Shane Waldron, and he wants to be there with the new Jaguars passing game coordinator. Who knows? But that would be great news if the Bears could pick up a couple of extra draft picks. Just being selfish about what the team needs. When you're trying to put together an offensive line through the draft, etc., you can find good players in the third round. Let somebody take over that responsibility from the general manager and assign a third round draft guru, and maybe you find a player on the offensive line there, or a guy that could help rushing a passer.
How awkward would that be the first time that Ian Cunningham reports to work at Jacksonville, if he is the general manager, and he walks into the meeting room and says, "Hi, Shane Waldron, passing game coordinator. How things been?"
I don't think it'd be awkward at all. Well, he wasn't the guy who fired him, right?
He was part of the regime that fired him.
Yeah, but he doesn't get full blame. It's a great job, the assistant to the general manager.
You have no culpability.
None.
No fingerprints are left on anything.
Can't blame him.
You're just kind of there wearing the straight build cap and wearing the skinny jeans and going all over the country scouting talent.
We got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Duval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haugh on 670 The Score.
How do you feel that the Eagles used two of the Bears' draft picks acquired in 2023 draft day trade down from the Montez Sweat deal via Washington to draft Super Bowl heroes Jalen Carter and Cooper DeJean? Does it make you regret those trades?
This was pointed out by Clay Harbor, CHSN, on Twitter, and you forget about what the Commanders did with the pick the Bears sent them for Montez Sweat. And I suppose it's a question of, would you rather have draft-driven defense and a roster with picks like that over Sweat and what he brought in DeJean's case? The Jalen Carter thing is going to be something people debate for years to come. You got a trade down for Darnell Wright and Torrey Taylor, your guy, Mully. So maybe that makes people feel better about it, but it just reinforces how much damage you can do, or how much, maybe reword that, how much progress you can make if you draft intelligently with picks in the top 40. The Eagles had the infrastructure, the word of the day, the word that's often associated with the Jalen Carter move, to draft him. They also had the foresight to get a guy in Cooper DeJean that was an impact player immediately. So at 40, the Bears have three picks of the top 41. It's encouraging to see what you can do with those picks if you're a shrewd drafter, the way Howie Roseman is. But this does just, I don't know if it makes you regret those trades anymore, but it just reinforces just how questionable some of these decisions are, or how easy they have been to second guess under Ryan Poles.
Spent some more time yesterday going back over Super Bowl 59, and Jalen Carter is a bad man. We've talked about glass eaters, Wolverine type player. He checks those boxes. I'm going to say what I said before. I know the Bears were not ready to handle a Wolverine or a glass eater at that time. Maybe someday there'll be a 30 for 30, like a locally done 30 for 30 on that whole night. And maybe we'll find out that X general manager and ex-head coach and ex-defensive line coach wanted this guy, and ex-owner said absolutely no way, no how, no dice. So just, Jalen Carter's really good, but I don't know that Jalen Carter would be really good here, just like we'll never know if Patrick Mahomes would have ever been really good here instead of in Kansas City.
Yeah, I feel like I second-guessed that. I first-guessed it. I didn't like that when it happened, and I felt it was a huge error, and I still do. And I think that it's not about handling a guy or his personality or they were in a better position. You had the first pick in the draft, and then you traded down. And so then you had the ninth pick in the draft. There's a huge difference between taking a guy with the number one overall pick and the number nine pick. That's a lot of differences, including the money. But I think that it's not a gamble at nine as much as it would be at one, okay? And I think that you got a good trade there if you had taken Jalen Carter, because he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's that good a player. I really think that 2 years into his career, he's proven that he is exactly the kind of player that can win a championship, because you need that guy in the middle of your defense, and the Bears still don't have anyone there. And, draft skill is being able to go into the third round and find a guy that can play. A draft skill is not, taking Zach Pickens in the third round and then having him as a healthy scratch. They need to get something out of that guy, and they need to select better than they've done in the third round. But I got to tell you, Jalen Carter was a surefire player. They were afraid of his personality. You know what? The last time I heard that, the last time I heard anyone say that they weren't sure they could handle him was Mark Hatley before Randy Moss was taken. Before they passed on Randy Moss, he said that he wasn't sure that they were in a good position. And you know, I'm not saying that they were in a good position to handle him, but Randy Moss is one of the, they've made a 30 for 30 on him. Go watch it sometime about all the weird stuff that happened to him and how he bounced around and wound up where he was. I just think when you have boundless talent, you can take a chance on a guy. And sometimes, you know, they're not all going to be choir boys. Sometimes that not everybody grew up as an altar boy. There are other backgrounds. And in the NFL, there are some pretty tough individuals. And I think the guy's a werewolf. I don't know how to describe him. I just think he's takes on a different persona on the field. He's just unbelievably talented. And I think that if you're worried about being able to control him, build a better team quicker. But you can't let guys like that go. And I think they let him go. And I know Darnell Wright is the only guy they have, and I know that the draft pick was for my guy, the Australian punter. But there are other ways of drafting people and getting people that are good in here. You got to take the obvious one. And again, a number one overall talent in the draft is not a risk at number nine, in my opinion. All right, that I think he would have done well, Dustin. All right, that's the pick six. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
I do think we're going to win more games than we did last year.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. I'm not picking on the guy, but isn't that a relief to know they're going to win more games than...
I think he's got to say that, yeah. I think a lot of people pick it on the guy.
Yeah, I like the guy. I do.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, yeah, here's hoping. Let's try Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, as you know, 99% of my calls these days, my ire is directed at the Cubs only. Don't take shots. Now, I'm not even taking a shot at the Sox, but David, I got to ask you this question.
Okay.
Because you're coming on the biggest radio station in the city of Chicago, and you're saying you want relentless optimism from a team, and then we have to hear, well, they might be the most improved. All my Sox fan friends, they don't want your pity. They want you to hold this team to the same account as you do the other five, and I don't, because you're really good at
it. Kevin, you need to listen better. Kevin, you need to listen. I said Chris Getz needs to take that approach. I didn't say I had to take that approach.
Why are you giving them a pass that they just?
I'm not giving anybody.
You certainly are.
I'm not giving him a pass.
You certainly are, David.
No,
you are. Listen to the show. Even Mully called you on.
I listen every day. I'm here every day.
You have to stop.
Appreciate your phone call, as always. Chris Getz has got to be relentlessly positive. If I'm in his job, that's the approach I need to take. Because if I didn't, I would be too depressed to do it right. You have to be. You have to look at it. With you're holding people accountable, you're doing all the things. If you're publicly projecting anything but a positive outlook on the first day of spring training, give me a break. You're doing it wrong.
I just find it amusing, honestly, that that's your prediction for the year, better than last year, because that's not the standard. That is not the standard. And you know what? They probably will be better than last year, but they're not gonna avoid 100 losses, right? And whether I'm being pessimistic or not, they didn't do anything to get better. They got rid of the best thing they had going for them, which was Crochet. And I mean, did they pick up another Eric Fetty type? I'm just saying, did they do in the offseason? Their reliance upon their guys coming up, and that's the minor league system is meant to be better than it has been, but I don't know that they got any immediate help, did they?
They did not get major league talent that's going to immediately help them or major league talent is going to do anything except for be considered placeholders, the latest being Michael A. Taylor, yeah, who they signed yesterday. And I think that whenever Chris Getz talks, we will focus on, you know, the headlines and the highlights and whether or not he went into detail about how far away Colson Montgomery is, or the future of the pitching staff, which is what all of their hope for the future is based on.
Yep.
These are things that, you know, are repetitive. They're redundant. So we will pick a headline and we'll beat it to death. And I think that's understandable, because there's not much else about the White Sox that is talkable. There's not a lot of talkability on a team that lost a record number of games in 2024 and is staring at a 100-loss season again. But if you're in his job, I don't know how you can just go out on day one and be anything but positive. And that's all I was saying.
Yeah, I'm not Kevin. I didn't accuse you of anything. I just think that what's frustrating is, you know, can't you assure? I don't know why they don't do more. I don't know why they don't have a better team or have a pitcher that you can say, surely that guy will start the season and do this. And then what you get is you got one pitcher who's hurt and another guy who's not healthy out of those young pitchers. And I think that that kind of information, that, you know, a guy needs Tommy John surgery, that's a reminder of what it's like to be reliant on prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not being negative. I'm just saying not every well thought of prospect. How much is Yoan Moncada getting paid in with the Angels?
$5 million.
He was once the number one prospect in baseball.
Cubs offered him $3 million. He signed for $5 million.
Yeah,
and he's in the same camp as Tim Anderson, and both those guys are
they're in camp together.
Wayward White Sox, symbolizing the failure that the last kind of rebuild represented, and it didn't work. And you now are a organization that has to reinvest, rebuild, and start over with pitching capital, and, you know, pitching.
They won in Charlotte, right, last year?
Yeah, they won in Charlotte. Yeah.
I'm just saying. So that's something.
It's something, but it's not going to buy you much time. It is Chicago. No. It is the major leagues, and everybody knows what's going on here. They are bottoming out, and let's hope that last year they bottomed out. And incremental progress represents, we're going to say it every time that we come up and talk about the White Sox. They could lose 100 games and still feel like they improved.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.